tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, 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 everybody. It's your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. The Curvy Critic. And I have in-house with me, baby, casting director extraordinaire, baby. Oop, that's me. Let me turn my thing off. Oops, oops, oops. I got the... Oh, there we go. Okay. I be having the volume up. It's the whole situation going on. But casting director extraordinary, honey, Miss Twinkie Bird. Welcome to The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at Black Hollywood Live, girl.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited to talk to you. We know each other socially, but we've never really sat down and had this conversation. Oh, yes.
That's right.
And so the way that this works is that we'll have a free flow conversation. We have a chat room, and right now in the chat room is Janelle Gardner. She says she's really excited for this. Michael B. and Marlon Wallace, who are some of my regulars that come over here every Sunday to join me. So yeah, so let's get right on into it. For people that are not familiar with you, tell us who you are and how you got started into casting.
Well, my name is Tracy Twinkie Bird. And I am, who am I? I'm amazing. I'm awesome. I'm epic stardust. I am from Brooklyn, New York.
Not epic stardust.
I am epic stardust. And I started in this industry in 1990. So this year marks 30 years. 30. I know. Oh my gosh. 30 years. And starting in music video in 1990 in New York, casting music videos for every artist you can possibly imagine, from Biggie to Mary J. Blige to Metallica and Nine Inch Nails. I've done it from R&B to rock to hip hop. Yeah, to, you know, Metallica, whatever, all that wonderful stuff. I've even done Metallica. And moved to Los Angeles in 1997. And have been casting short films, feature films, commercials, television ever since. And just in the last 3 years, embarking on a film career, directing and executive producing and becoming an author. So all of these wonderful things stem from that one thing, which is casting.
Oh, wow. We got here around the same time. That's so awesome. I didn't realize that. What I wanted to talk to you about is, a lot of times, we had this discussion earlier in the week, you and I, a lot of times when people think about a film, they think about the film stars, they think about the directors, they think about the producers, the production designers, the sound designers, they think about every other aspect of the production other than the casting. And the truth of the matter is, if it were not for the casting director, we probably wouldn't have the great ensemble of people that we see that make the films work, yeah? So
yes.
There were these huge numbers this past week for the Clark Sisters movie. Huge numbers, huge, yes. huge. A lot of people saw it, 2.7 million people saw it on the Lifetime channel. And it resonated with people who are religious, people who aren't religious. And these are women that are iconic in the gospel arena and just in the music arena in general. So I'm wondering if your previous relationship in the music industry with Mary J. Blige led you to this moment, because she's one of the producers on the film.
No, not at all. I believe it was Queen Latifah that was on the project. I was brought on early on, but no, oh my gosh, me and Mary, we go back too. I mean, as far as work, we go back as far as work. I did a music video for her years ago, and then I cast her in Black Nativity as the angel. And then most recently, her name is on this project. It's so great. It's like, it just keeps happening and coming around, but
that's a beautiful thing.
Direct. It is really a beautiful thing. This project came to me through the network and through Michael Chin, who was my assistant and is now an executive at Lifetime. So it came to me through them.
That's awesome. Talk about the process of casting these five phenomenal women.
The process of casting is, well, all six of them actually, including Anjanou. Anjanou was a little different. Anjanou was on lists. So you create a list of name actresses who you feel like can embody the role, and you go down your list of actresses and check availabilities and see if, is Regina King available? Is Tashina Arnold available? Is, you know, Tisha Campbell available? Like all of those women in that same or similar age range, Kerry Washington, all of, and through their availability, you send scripts out to see if they're interested in the role and would you be interested in an offer? So that is the ingenue side of it. And then for these women, these actresses, and these singers who are also acting in the piece, you put out an all points bulletin through breakdown services, through, I mean, I've got a lot of submissions from the churches because of Holly Davis Carter and her relationships. There was a lot of information going back and forth through all the producers and the executive producers. So my job is to like collaborate and then to prioritize and, you know, get everything out administratively. Me, my assistant, get out the auditions, have them send the auditions back on tape, because we were doing tape even before this COVID situation. So it was about getting people on tape and having them audition, not just to sing, but also with lines and with auditioning the roles for each role involved. So there was a lot of work to do when it came to that.
Did you ask any of them, so in the process of singing, did you ask any of them to sing their own music selections, or did you specifically ask them to sing a Clark Sisters tune?
Neither. They just sang one song, but it was not a Clark Sisters song. And we just wanted them to sing to hear the range so that we, when the tape was sent to Donald Lawrence and to the director and the producers, that they can hear tone and range, and then they can, you know, do their magic with it. So
now,
yeah.
Now to switch to another project real quick, I remember you casting Southside With You, the film that Tika Sumpter produced, about the meeting, the first date of Michelle and Barack Obama. And there's a story that you told about casting a young man who played Barack Obama that I want you to share with my audience, because I think it's an awesome story about how you literally took your skill and got the best person for the part.
Was that the story about Turn the Volume Off?
No, it was the story about imitating. He was trying to imitate.
That is the story about Turn the Volume
Off.
So yes. So I, so funny. My director said the same thing at Sundance, and he told, I don't know how many hundreds of people were in that room, but it's true. So he's an actor who lives in London, but he's from the US, and he was doing an impersonation because he had done impersonations of Barack Obama. So when he was auditioning, he was doing kind of an impersonation, and it was bothering the director so much, but I saw something in him. So the director, Richard Tanney, shout out to him. He said to me, he said, well, I can't see him in the role, Twinkie, because he's doing this interpretation. It's like this thing, and it's getting on my nerves. And I said, okay, all right. I understand that. Turn the volume off. And instead of listening to his voice, hear him with your eyes. I want you to hear him with your eyes. Like, just focus on what that all is. And he did it. I'm thankful that he followed my careful, like, instruction and sharing. I'm glad that he listened to me and understood that I'm not trying to undermine him, but that I'm a team player. And I am focused on the team winning. So he did, and he listened to him, and he saw him, and then he said, okay, I'm gonna give him a couple of tweaks, and you send this to him, and let him send the tape back. And, ooh, I'm so sorry. I lost
That's
you
okay, baby.
I said, I'm gonna send the tape back. And he said, I'm gonna send him some tweaks, send the tape back. And he took the instruction, he took the direction, the shift and the change, and he was our Barack Obama.
He was awesome. He was really, really wonderful. Speaking of which, let's talk about being a team player. In terms of being a team player, I've heard many casting directors say along the way, from an actor's point of view, because you know that I'm an actor as well yes. as a host and a film critic, that, you know, a lot of times actors will be like, oh, this casting director doesn't like me. They won't see me. They don't like me, yada, 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 right? Yes. And I've heard casting directors say, look, we want y'all to come in the room and be good because then our job is done. We're good. Like, right. we're rooting for you. Can you just speak to that for a second?
Speak to, I agree. I agree with that. And yeah. It's definitely not about not liking you. Sometimes it's about you not being ready for what it is that we know we need from you. You know, a lot of times it's our job to see, it's almost like a teacher and it's like a guidance counselor. It's like our job has so many hats and we can tell and we can feel what you're capable of at that particular point in your process, in your education, and this thing right here is a little bit out of your grasp. And I don't want you to come in and to just not be able to nail it or take that note from the director. I don't want you to come in and the director be in the room and just like, I don't know why did we see that person? So what yeah. you really want them to do is come into the projects where they're strong. And as you're growing, as you're becoming more self-aware, as you're becoming even more of a leader, and you know, it comes across. It just, I don't know how to say it, but it comes across. There are times when I'm watching shows and I'm like, okay, she may be the lead, but she's really not ready yet.
That's notable. That's notable. Yeah. Now let's segue from you casting films to casting something like Being Mary Jane, which is an episodic, right? So let's talk about the difference between casting for, girl, I do too, please, that is my jam. So let's talk about casting something like a Being Mary Jane as opposed to these feature films that you've been doing for the big screen and for Lifetime.
Being Mary Jane, well, I got that script and I cast the pilot in the first three seasons. And it had a completely different name when I originally got the script. And I loved it so much. I loved it so much. First, I had to cast that family, that beautiful, chocolatey, scrumptious, black family, beautifully flawed, epic in all of their everything, just, oh. Glorious morsels. Just, it's like, Margaret Avery and Richard Roundtree. I got to cast them. Me, really? As
yeah,
the
you
matriarch
did.
And patriarch of that family? Just seriously? That was amazing. And to cast that kind of family was important to me just because coming up in the era of Cosby Show and of different world and watching beautiful black families on television, you want to be able to be a part of that next beautiful black family, even though we're flawed, even with all of the flaws, all of the juiciness, there's still that love. And that was a challenge because first we start with Gabrielle, casting yeah. Gabrielle and having that meeting with Gabrielle and her manager and everything. And then getting the right woman in her early 40s at that time, or late 30s, I think she was early 40s at that time. And because we wanted to represent for women of a certain age, getting to a place where you are it. You've got friends, you've got family, you've got career. Where's he at?
I was like, what's this?
Where's he at?
Love that, right?
Yes.
Dude, where's your soulmate?
And a lot of us are going through all of that. Where he at? Him, with. You just want the whole thing to come together and you start playing with it and you find the best friends. And so it started with her and then casting the mom and dad and then the family, the brother, the brothers, the niece, which of course is our Raven. So who's also in the Clark Sisters.
The Clark Sisters.
Yes. and finding her and her dynamic with Gabrielle. It's just, and it was a process. They gave me 12 weeks. 12 weeks to cast it. Yes. And it was a process.
Now, is that a lot of time or a short period of time in the big scheme of things?
It's a short period of time.
To cast all those roles, right?
To cast all those roles, yes. And then simultaneously having a casting director in Atlanta, which is where we were shooting it at the time, looking for all of the local roles and the ancillary roles to play. So I had to do that base cast of the family and then the guest stars. So they were all series regulars or recurring. Then you have to do the guest stars for the episodes. So it's fast and furious. And a lot of people did not understand that that was the ground floor of groundbreaking for BET and for drama, because they had never had a dramatic series on the network, not a 1-hour drama ever.
Yeah, it did really, really well. And it was very well done. The writing was good. The way it was shot was exceptional. The acting was on point. So kudos to you for that. Let's segue into your lanes of being a director and a producer. I know that you produced and you directed a short called The Counter. And I know that it played quite a few film festivals and did really well. So let's tell the people about that.
Well, The Counter 1960 is a story about three woke Black students who slip into the space time continuum. So they're woke and they're Black and they're like, I wouldn't have gone through this. I wouldn't have done that. So they find themselves seated at the lunch counter in 1960. And the question is, will they be served? And how much of that are we living now? And where are we going? So that is for me, I am very interested in sci-fi historical narrative. So I take them back in time and have them relive it. And that that film has taken me around the world, that short. And now I'm also the executive producer of a Christmas film from Lifetime that'll be coming out towards the end of this year. And we shot that in Canada. So I am just kind of blossoming. I'm opening up. And The Counter is it's my baby. Like, I'm looking at the poster right now. It's my baby.
I know you love, I know how much you love that project. That's why I brought it up. Is. Yes.
Yeah. It's my baby.
It was good. Let's talk about so we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a health crisis. People are stuck at home, staying at home, shut in, shut down with the Rona, without the Rona, knowing people that have either been infected with it, that have passed from it. Some people have been infected and come out on the other side. But in terms of casting and television and content, how has the world shifted for you during this time?
Well,
how is it going to look going forward, you think?
You know what? I feel like we're going to see a lot more pandemic stories. I feel like we're going to have a bit of a conversation about this for, you know, a year or two to come, in terms of how this is a first for most of us.
This is unprecedented. We've never experienced this in our lives or in our industry. So this is something that's new for everybody. People are having to shift. Mothers and fathers and parents are having to shift their everyday, trying to work from home, homeschool, feed the kids, give them attention. You know, I have a girlfriend that has a child that's probably, I think she's probably about four, I want to say about four or five. And her child was having a hard time understanding and grasping why, if mommy was at home, mommy couldn't play with her all the time. You know what I mean? And so that's something that everybody is grasping with. And she's like, you know, not now, honey. And so her and her husband have had to tag team each other to play with her just so that she can get used to this new normal. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I know for myself, with voiceovers, it's popping because you can be anywhere to do a voiceover, but with the on-camera stuff, it's literally come to a screeching halt. So in your opinion, how do you think in terms of, I know we're going to see a lot more pandemic content, but how do you think, how do you think we're going to move forward? Like, how are people going to be cast now? Do you think when we come out of this, people are not going to be so eager to have these big casting calls in person? Is everything going to shift to on tape?
Well, I was on tape person in the first place. And now at this point, it just got to me, because I was able to see more people on tape, it got to the point where I would only have my callbacks in person. Mm. So the most recent project I just did, I'm a producer on and working with Macro on, we just did the callbacks in person. So I feel like it's going to become more of that as we grow and as we and as we come out of this. I too have a voiceover agent, go figure. So
you have a great voice. That's not surprising.
I thank you. I got my voiceover agent on Instagram. I'm not even gonna lie. So I've been getting
finish what you were saying.
I've been getting a lot of auditions as well. But for right now, I started a 1-minute short film challenge on Instagram for actors and creatives to just to take our minds off of it, but also too to showcase what this little thing can do. That we can make a film with these phones, any smartphones. So it's a smartphone short film challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're saying in the chat room, since you said you love sci-fi, they're like, you must love HBO's The Watchmen.
I do. And I did. I do love The Watchmen. I'm also a Trekkie. So I like Star Trek. I'm a Twilight Zone nut job. I love Black Mirror. I love Altered Carbon. Yep.
And they're also saying, where can they find your short on the counter and all the other ones that you've done?
Well, okay, so on my IGTV are a lot of the short films that I have directed. I have another one coming. I have another short coming from existing footage on my phone. Existing footage on my phone, and then I asked a friend to do the end, film herself, and then I'm putting it all together with music and everything. So that'll be on my IGTV. The Counter was just in the Black Film Festival in New Orleans. And it was screening for 12 hours, 12 lovely, fabulous hours on YouTube. So we're considering putting it out on YouTube again. So be on the lookout for that. I will let people know on my Instagram for sure. Thank you for asking.
Okay. And what's on your bucket list at this point? I mean, you've worked with recording artists. You've worked with television artists. You've worked with some of the best in Black cinema, like a Richard Roundtree, a Margaret Avery. You've worked with all these amazing, amazing, amazing people. What could possibly be left on your bucket list? And what are you streaming right now that you're stuck at home?
Good questions. Okay, what's on my bucket list? Documenting all of it. Mm. So I will probably do a self-documentary and of the journey, and also writing it down. So creating a book, and the people that I want to work with, they just keep coming. So I am just so thankful that I can't even put out there a list, because they just keep coming. One person that I did want to work with I want to work with Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte before they pass.
Ooh, that's a good bucket list to have.
I do want to work with them. I met Sidney Poitier. I haven't met Mr. Belafonte yet, but I want to. And let's see, what am I streaming now? Yeah. Fleabag. I just watched Selah and the Spades yesterday on Amazon.
That's a great film.
Yes, and what else am I watching? I'm watching so many things. I'm also educating myself online. So I'm taking classes on directing. I'm taking classes on photography. I'm doing so many things, and I have to judge this competition that I created.
Right, that on your hands. So as we're closing this out, I just want, there may be some actors on the line watching this, or they may be watching it at a later date. In your book, Channeling Becky.
Also dealing with that.
So mm-hmm. they can read that. But mm-hmm. for actors that may be watching in this moment or after the fact, what advice do you have for them right now while they have all this time to kind of mm-hmm. like get their act together or or take some classes, or
no pun intended.
You know what I mean? Or right. Or, you know, re-edit their reel or whatever. What advice do you have for people right now?
All of that that you just said is amazing. And also too, to create, to start directing. You know, the reason why I created that challenge was so that we would start directing, but also too, that we can fall in love with the process and realize how much about the process is important and how much goes into making and creating these projects. So important, like the shots and a shot list. So you can be writing, you can be directing, you can be reading, you can be studying. I have a friend of mine, Marquise Harris, who's doing scenes with Curtis Cook online on his Instagram, and they film each other doing these fabulous scenes, and it's so great. And so people are really trying their best to have fun during this time as much as you possibly can, because it can be so incredibly overwhelming when you think about it. So we're trying to stay creative. And we're really trying to help other people get their minds off of things. Imagine who it's touching. Like, there could be a nurse somewhere, or a doctor, or a first responder somewhere who's watching these funny little things that we're creating and posting, and we're making them laugh for a few minutes. So let's keep doing that. Let's keep creating, because they need us.
Yes, absolutely. That's totally my goal in doing this every week. Usually we would be in the studio doing it, but I'm in my office, you're in your office, and we're doing it and we're having this conversation. And you know, my mom is a retired nurse. So I keep that in mind with everything that I do, because my mom could have still been out in the trenches working, yes, but she retired and she's here with me. And if she were not retired, she would be in the trenches with everybody else trying to, you know, make this world a better place as a healthcare administrator. I feel like, as someone who is in the entertainment industry, you know, I can talk and I can entertain. And if I can't do anything else, I can do that. And I'm using this platform to try to make everybody's day a little brighter, help lift their spirits, if only for a few seconds or a few minutes or for an hour, because we need that. And I read a quote somewhere where someone was talking about how when we look back on this time, we're going to look back on it and see that when people were down and out, when they were feeling low, when they needed to be entertained, that they looked to artists to do it. So having yes. said that, I appreciate you wholeheartedly for being an artist in a space, in the casting space, that is helping us to see wonderful work, new wonderful work in every different platform all the time. I thank you for taking the time to come over here and chat with me today. I think it was an important discussion that people needed to hear. I want to thank the people that have been in the chat room today. Brandon, he loves animation, so he's always shouting me out about the Simpsons and the Willoughbys and, you know, the Onwards and all of that stuff. And he sends me paintings and his drawings online. So thank you, Brandon. Janelle Gardner is here. Michael B is here. Marlon Wallace is here. And some other people whose names are in the chat, that I want to thank them wholeheartedly for coming over here and hanging with us. And before we go, please tell everybody where they can find you online and where they can find any and all of your projects.
They can find me online at I Am Twinkie Bird, and that is on Instagram and Twitter, the same, I Am Twinkie Bird. And you can find my projects on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, The Counter 1960. You can go to twinkiebird.com for everything, including a book list.
Yes, and let's be clear, Twinkie is spelled Twinkie, not Y-I-E, and Bird is B-Y-R-D, not correct. B-I-R-D. So it's Twinkie, B-Y-R-D. I Am Twinkie Bird. Thank online, you. Everywhere. Yeah, girl, I got you. You got me. I got you. And you guys, you can find me everywhere across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can find me right after this doing the after show for General Hospital at AfterBuzz. And you can catch me on Monday doing the after show for Insecure, HBO's Insecure. So until the next time, stay safe, stay sane, wash your hands, keep your spirits up, and we will catch you the next time. Thank you, love you, and love, peace, and hair grease. Bye.
Love, peace, hair grease.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.